Stephanie Laska. Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Keto Podcast. I lost 140 pounds by continuing to enjoy my favorite light beer, tortillas, and chocolate. I believe you can have your sugar-free cake and eat it too. You don't have to be perfect on the keto diet to be successful at losing weight. Your journey on Dirty Lazy Keto, it starts today. Stress and weight loss, is there a relationship? Well, some people wonder, can you still lose weight when you're all stressed out and worried about everything? Well, today's guest, Jeannie Evans, I think she is here to help us. She is here to share how her dirty keto weight loss success story, despite all the stress in her life, still worked out. So welcome to the show, Miss Jeannie.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
I hope all of our people out there watching and listening will give Jeannie a thumbs up to give her encouragement, because this is scary to come on like TV and podcasts and talk about yourself. So everybody give Jeannie a quick thumbs up as she introduces herself and tells us a little bit about her journey.
Okay. So my name is Jean Evans Davila, and 3 days after my birthday last year, I decided to clean my cabinets, give away the rest of my birthday cake, get all my family members overweight by giving away all the flour and the sugar and everything and pasta, and just start fresh. And the impetus was that I've been telling myself the whole while I was working on my doctoral degree and looking for a new job that the time would be right when I could do it. And it never seems to happen. And my 90-year-old father said to me, Jeannie, whether you begin today or not, the time is still going to pass day by day. So I just gave myself 3 days to wallow in my chocolate lemon birthday cake. And then I said, I'm starting. And one of the things was, I was in the bookstore at Target, and I ran across the Dirty Lazy Keto Getting Started book. And I thought, this looks like something I could actually do and like and adapt to being a vegetarian. So I just loved your stories. I saw a lot of myself in them, and I began. And now it's a year and 2 days later, and I have lost 85 pounds and 68 inches and have adopted a walking lifestyle, and I could move around and get around better, and I feel great.
Wow. There's like so much going on. I have to unpack all that. But before I even poke any questions at you, my dear, I would love to show your before picture. So I'm going to attempt to share my screen. Let's see if I can handle such craziness. Here we go. I'm going to try it. Let me know if you can see, everybody. Give me a thumbs up if you can. Okay. Here we are. Does that work on your end, my dear? Can you see it okay?
Actually, it doesn't work for me anymore, but the picture is
there. Funny. Okay. Well, no, hopefully our watchers out there can see.
No, they can see it. That was just a poor joke saying being okay. Like that doesn't work for me anymore, but yes, I see it.
So tell me a little bit about these before pictures. Like talk to us about them. What do you think?
Afraid.
What are you feeling? Where were you then?
I was so afraid to take this picture because in my work life, I was a public figure, so to speak, you know, but I thought to myself after giving it a good 2 weeks that if I didn't get a picture, I would never truly know when I was feeling a little down in the dumps if it was actually happening or not. So right. I made myself a bet that I'd start there and I would do a picture every month. I eventually fell off with that because the clothing and all the non-scale victories really let me know I was progressing. But I am so happy to have these pictures of myself now, and I would recommend anybody do it. It means so much more than the weight loss to see where you came from. And I was thinking I looked okay.
You do look okay. You look amazing.
But when I looked at them, I thought, I'm going to hide these in my phone deep and not look at these again.
Right.
But it just feels like the time flew by. And I'm so happy, like, with the quality of the food I'm eating. It's not a diet. It doesn't feel like one. It's like, I actually look forward to this kind of food. Now, I never thought I'd give up my Italian bread and my snacks at night, but my tastes have changed. And I don't feel like I need to cheat. If I feel like I want something, I either keto-fy it, or like I think twice in the past year, I factored it in a piece of birthday cake or something like that, you know? So I just have skills now.
It sounds like you've made it a lifestyle. It wasn't like a temporary fix. You had your birthday, you ate your cake for 3 days. I love that part because it's honest, right? Like not everybody says, oh, you know, my dad said something to me and it changed my life. You know, sometimes it's a process where we have to kind of wallow a little bit and figure it out. So I really like that you approach this in a real realistic, honest way when you share how you got going, because it's not always easy. And I'm so grateful that I was able to meet you in Target across the country without knowing you.
Yeah.
And maybe just say something that got you going in the right direction, because you did all the work, my dear.
Yeah. But you know, I had never joined a Facebook group before. I read in the introduction to your book that you had a Facebook group. And I think that just gave me so much of a community around me. You know, I found like-minded people. And I was just so impressed, Stephanie, that you, as busy as you are, actually would reach out and respond to people and cheer them on. And I just felt like it wasn't like, for instance, one of the leading weight loss companies that have weekly meetings where you wait to the week to have your meeting. It was any time I wanted to click on and find somebody to talk to. And I became such a fanatic about posting my meals that my husband was saying, nobody wants to see your boring posts about your meals and your car.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. My kids are the same way. They're like, hold up. We can't eat until mom takes a picture. But it's accountability in a way. Yeah, it's almost like an accountability. It makes you feel like you're checking in with someone.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, it doesn't matter where you are at in the world or the country. There's always someone awake and alive and interested in talking and supporting you. So it's a real process. It makes you feel like you're not alone.
It does. And in the meantime, because I was posting in your group, but also on my private Facebook page, it got a lot of people invested in watching my journey. And one of them turned out to be my cousin that I didn't even know was doing keto on her own and had started 8 weeks before me. We just did a walk the other day for one of the victims of Sandy Hook Elementary School. And we realized standing there together that between us, we had lost 195 pounds in a year.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I know.
And you didn't even know, like you had started a journey separate from her, but by sharing a little bit and being vulnerable on your own personal Facebook page, you were able to connect in that way.
Yeah. So then we began things like she lives a couple towns over, but if I found like a really great sugar-free chocolate that I liked, I would stuff it in her mailbox. I'd drive by and she would give me a little envelope of carb quick if I had said I'd never tried it before. So we've been really, you know, cheering each other on. It's been helpful.
Yeah. Well, you're making it sound so easy, Jeannie. I have to say, you're making it sound very easy and fun. I mean, has it always been this way or did you have a little bit of stress going on? Come on,
no,
let's hear it. Let's hear the truth.
I'm actually telling you the truth. And I think part of it is I had just had enough, you know? I had lost my mother 5 years ago and her whole life, she kept telling me, oh, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. Depending on when you know me, Stephanie, you either know me like if I was like a size 12 or if I was a size 28. Like it just depends. In my closet, I could be Filene's basement. I mean, it's filled all sizes. I'm still having trouble with a little bit of size hoarding because I'm afraid to let go.
Yeah.
But that's a fun problem. But my mom, you know, really didn't want me to have some weight-related problems. She was having at end of life. And my dad began talking to me a lot about it too. And as my dad now has gone through chemo and he's 90, and I also thought to myself how nice it would be for him to know that I'm okay and I'm going to be okay, you know? And I love to travel. Like I love going overseas. I always have, but I don't want to have to fly first class because I'm afraid of how I'm going to fit in a seat. And when I get there, I want to walk nonstop and do things. So it was thinking about hitting my 57th birthday that year and saying to myself, how do I want to live the next half of my life? You know, that's really what it's about. And I've just embraced and enjoyed it all. I really have.
Well, I love your attitude. It's so refreshing because I think that a lot of times people get bogged down with the stress of family members being sick or their career or, you know, having maybe a food preference or like you said, lacto-ovo-vegetarian or, you know, they see things as obstacles, but in a way I feel like you're seeing them as opportunities.
I think they are. And I've got enough information in your books and believe me, I do have all of them here, tabbed and everything else, bookmarks in them. I live by them. And when I feel like I need a shot in the arm, I say to myself, well, maybe I forgot something that was in one of these books. So I pull out Getting Started. I keep it in my bureau next to my bed. And at night, you know, like if I'm feeling like, oh, it's going slow on the scale. Yeah, there's the non-scale victory, but like I'll sometimes look in there and I'll say, in the index, is there something like I could read there? So I just go back and I hear my little voice in my ear and I say to myself, yeah. And I love the latest cookbook too, because what I had been dying for is to see a greater range of photos of yourself where you started, because it made me feel like I could do it. Because you know how it is in the beginning when you have over 100 pounds to lose, you say to yourself, this is going to take forever. Can I really do it? Or will this be a temporary thing that later I'll slide back on? But this actually works for me. It's so tasty. It's just such a learning thing. It's been such a learning thing. I actually crave these foods. I love it.
I've had fun watching some of the recipes that you've posted on social media. So I saw that you cooked, this one made me laugh. I saw you cooked one of my stuffed mushroom recipes, but yeah. You added, I took the shortcut provided in the tips and options. That's that cracked right. me up.
I like it. I like it. You know, I mean, who knows if I made the dip that goes in the middle, which is so simple, or if I opened
right.
up
like,
the
who cares?
Potatoes and did a plop in it.
Yep. I was like, girl, that's how I do it too. Like, you don't have to make everything from scratch. That cracked me up. Do you find yourself cooking a lot, or are you more of a fixing type of a person, or what works?
Well, I enjoy cooking, you know, so not everybody enjoys my cooking, but I enjoy cooking.
Yeah, I'm stealing that joke. That's funny.
That's true. But I did do a lot of cooking up until I want to say about maybe September, you know. All of a sudden, and I could get like this, I could get on a jag. I don't know if you're like this, where like I have like a favorite meal and I'll just do it to death.
You know?
Yes,
it's like,
ma'am. Go get takeout. This is what I'm doing. And like, I just have fallen in love with a big, like a la Seinfeld, the dinner salad, you know, a big salad that I'll put Morningstar Farms bacon in. I'll put a little blue cheese crumbles in. I put onion in it. I put tomato, I put the lettuce, and I just like feel like I'm in heaven, whether I do it with the full fat creamy Marie's salad dressing, super blue cheese, or whether I do like a Paul Newman's vinaigrette Northern Italian light, and that saves me like half the calories. But I just find myself during the day like getting that jonesing, like my blue cheese bacon salad's coming tonight, or ooh, it's time to do the Big Mac salad. Like, I love my salads.
I used to get kind of embarrassed, like you said, like I'm doing the same thing all the time. Like, I've been eating cucumbers now for like almost a year every day to the point where it's weird. Like, the Safeway people look at me like, here comes the cucumber lady. She's buying 10 of them. You know what I mean? But you're right. I mean, having like a repeat comfort favorite, it makes you feel like safe. You know, you can eat it. You can eat a lot of it. And you're still going to lose weight or keep your weight off. So it's like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Who cares
yeah.
what other people think, right?
Right. I think one thing that made this easy for me too is that with COVID, I was hiding from like lunch dates with friends and dinner dates for a very good reason that a lot of other people were hiding from them too. So I didn't feel like the whole country was going through that lack of socialization. So I didn't feel cut off or deprived from those things because everyone didn't want to go out and expose themselves. So interestingly enough, it just dawned on me the other day that 2 weeks ago was the first time I was in a restaurant again. As I was sitting there, it dawned on me. I took a friend and his wife out to celebrate him getting a new job. And I went back and forth, Stephanie. I said, am I going to drink a cocktail? Am I not going to drink a cocktail? And I did. And then I just did a little intermittent fasting the next day. Am I still dealing with a little upage on the pounds and that? Yeah, but I don't feel I own those pounds. Those are temporary. They're probably due to the salts and they're due to the, you know, water retention. But I surprised myself in that I made a healthy dinner choice while I was there because I wanted to, not because I had to. I thought, ooh, these two things look good. Which would I rather have? And I thought, I'll take that salad with the little breaded goat cheese rounds on top. There's only one on there. I could get away with that. And I just had a nice dinner and I just convinced myself that I can do that occasionally now.
You sure can. I mean, you've got those tools, right? Like you said, you're like, you know what to do, you know what your limits are, and you know it's okay to kind of tap dance here and there sometimes because it's still working. You're still able to make it work. Now, you mentioned in addition to food, I know you've told me earlier and also on social media about some exercise you've been doing, and people get so scared of that. But I want you to talk about it a little bit. Tell us how that has helped you with your stress and your weight loss.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I did a lot of grieving over having left my job. It was a job that was a mission to me. I was the assistant superintendent at Sandy Hook Schools in Newtown, Connecticut, you know, for the Newtown schools, and my heart was in it. But, you know, there's a lot of secondary trauma there, working there, and you take it on and you don't realize you're taking it on. And I would have, like, when I first decided the first day to see how I would fare going out walking, I was reading again in a reread how you paced yourself, I forget, by a fence or something when you were starting to run yourself when you started. And I had a friend that became a marathon runner and lost tons of weight by running telephone pole to telephone pole and then extending it. So I thought, I'm going to go down the park. I know where we have a beautiful 7-mile coastline. And I said, I know where my brother likes to walk, who's fit, and how far he goes. I'm just going to see, and I made my husband get me a Fitbit, if I could go farther than him. So I did. And then that built into from going on like a 3.5-mile walk to going on into a 7-mile daily walk, rain or shine. And I had some pictures of myself drenched to the bone walking on the seawall. But I found that if you're dealing with stressors in your life, like illness of somebody in the family or loss of job, whatever you could do to connect with your physical self instead of your mental self gets you deeper into the mental self and helps you sort some of that out. And I actually found myself taking walks, feeling those endorphins kicking in, saying, I feel sorry for the people that are still working. I'm rather enjoying this. They're in a boring meeting right now and they're stressed about the board meeting tonight. But here I am saying, what a pretty lighthouse, you know? And I began talking to people as I was walking down the park. And I got like my little old man senior citizen club that would say, is there any outfit you don't have to walk in? You have like the cutest outfits when you come walking. And then they'd begin saying, hey, the more I'm seeing you, the less I'm seeing you and stuff like that. And I realized other people were noticing. And then I'd get, you know, I got my few people I'd say hi to on the walk. So it became social. Then friends started saying on Facebook, hey, how about if you change your walk to after work and I'll come down and meet you? Like people I hadn't seen since high school that were only Facebook friends. So what I found is if you share, if you're honest, people want to join in on that feeling with you and they want to support you and they want some of the mojo you have, you know? And that's really nice. That's a great thing.
And that can be motivating in and of itself, right? Like you said, the way your perspective is, it's not just you're out there burning a calorie or trying to work off some cocktail you had at lunch. It's more like you're out there for yourself. You're processing your feelings. You're committing to your health. You're connecting with others. And it gives you that time too to kind of reflect about stuff that might have been a stressor in a different part of your day or your life. And it helps you to sort through them. So I feel really inspired by what you're saying.
Oh, thank you. I'm inspired by you. Like I'm walking these 5Ks for the victims of Sandy Hook lately. Like anytime there's one, I'm walking it. But what I really want to do is run it. And I have friends that laugh at me when I say, will you teach me how to run? Because I ran when I was years ago, when I was a hairdresser, like 30 years ago. But I probably ran wrong and did some damage to my knees. And I just don't know if I could take it at this old girl age now, but I would really like to be able to run the next year's race for one of these instead of walking it.
And I have a feeling that you'll be able to. If there's anybody who can, I have a feeling that it's you. I don't feel like you're letting stress or any obstacle get in your way. It doesn't sound like it.
Well, you know, it's just enjoyable. Like I'll be in the store, right? I'll tell you one other thing first, right? I've had these moments where like, I'm getting ready for work, and then I go and do a final look in the bathroom mirror, and I go to look down at my shoes, and then I realize my hips aren't extending out anymore. It's like, wow, I'm more compact in there, you know? Or I'll go to put my hands on the hip when I'm teaching a class, and I'll go, hey, wait a minute, I feel some ribs in there, you know? So there's all those nice little things. And then there's the little moments that you normally wouldn't think of, like when I'm in a store, like a discount store, like a Marshall's or TJ Maxx, where there's the long rack with all the clothes and they go from extra small all the way to 3X. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, number one, I'm in stores that haven't wanted me as a member of their club in years, that I would just have to walk right by and say, oh, well, that store's for somebody else. And then the other thing is, when I'm at the rack, it dawned on me, I'm shopping in small, extra small for my tops. And there's these other people that look really good in my point of view that are in the middle and the end of the rack. And you're like, holy God. And then I'll say things to people like, I went to get my COVID shot. And I'll say to the nurse, my COVID booster, I said, well, and she goes, well, you're not eligible right now. I said, well, yeah, I am. You know, I'm in an obesity class for my BMI. And I also have a history of blood clots. And she looked at me, a nurse, and said, yeah, obese. And, you know, I'm still obesity class one for 5 more pounds. But, you know, it's nice, you know, because you see it every day in every way. Like this morning, I'm in a size pair of pants that I never have been in since high school. You know, if you look, you could find a million ways, even when the scale's stuck, that you're gaining, that you're losing, that, you know, you're having a good experience with it. You just have to look. It's not all about a number.
No, it's not all about the number. And it takes time too. I think I've come to realize, talking to so many people who've lost weight with Dirty Lazy Keto, is that it's a process. Like, even though you've lost all this weight right now, Jeannie, your brain has struggled to keep up and it may need a little bit more time. I mean, I'm with you. I'm going on a decade, and I was at Costco yesterday and I bought size medium black stretch pants. And I came home and put them on and they came up to, you know, about my bosom. And I'm like, what are you kidding me? And it was all because I felt kind of yucky yesterday. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've been snacking too much and just felt blah. So here I am buying size medium pants when I don't wear medium. Isn't so it it's crazy? Like, our brain and our body sometimes don't go in together. It takes time.
It does. And we had another instance around here. I don't know if people have experienced something like this in other parts of the country, but my whole professional wardrobe used to come from 2 stores. One was the Alfani Plus brand at Macy's, and the other was in a Dress Barn Woman. They used to have Jones, New York. Mm-hmm. And those clothes looked incredibly professional on me and tailored. And they helped me through when I was weighing, you know, close to 300 pounds to dress and look presentable in school and work. But they began closing. And I am not a body type that I can shop online. Well, I haven't been, right? Just where my problem areas are, things won't fit. And I don't like the expense of sending back or the hassle of sending back. So I got really frightened that this was a disappearing population. As much as everybody's gaining weight out there, there were no plus size professional stores, professional dress career wear stores for me to shop at. And I had a choice, you know, am I going to alter clothes or am I going to alter me, you know?
Oh, I like that. That's a good line. Yeah.
It helped too. You know?
Yeah, you have to kind of figure out what's going to work. I mean, it's funny you talking like that. I feel like we're just such similar people.
I know.
I can identify with you. I'm just thinking about when I had my favorite INC pants. And I think I wrote about this in the book, but I remember they were the only pants that fit me. And I used a stapler to keep them from unfraying, because I'm like, I can't. And I used hot glue. I'm like, I can't. These are my only pants. And I didn't have anywhere else to shop either. I'm in a small town, but. Yeah, it's scary.
And like, I'd get them altered, then I'd get them unaltered. I used to get them altered. I used to say, but leave the extra material there.
Just in case.
I don't have just in cases anymore. I mean,
no more.
I just have, but I don't know if you felt this way. I still can't get over that idea that if I find a shirt or a pair of pants that looks really great on me, I've got to buy it in every color. You know,
yeah.
Because I
yeah.
might not ever see it again. And I got to get that out of my brain. Especially because I'm going through clothes like every 3 to 4 weeks, a new size, you know, so you can't live like that, but I still notice that. I call it the clothes hoarder mentality, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's a thing. I know. It's a good problem to have too, like you said. It can be a good problem to have. And I know. And I'm sure a lot of people watching and listening, they have questions for you. And I encourage them to ask them in the comments, because Jeannie will respond. She is super helpful. But Jeannie, tell me, is there anything I forgot to ask you? I know we covered so much today.
No, but there's something I'd like to ask you.
Uh-oh.
Ready? I'm turning the tables on you.
All right.
Do you have any thoughts in the future that you might write a book that talks about your exercise journey?
Ooh, would anyone want to read it?
I would.
I'm always like, would anyone want to? I mean, I think it would be fun to write, and I feel like I might need that for myself some days. But you're right. I mean, I think we all need help and advice on all sorts of things. And sometimes the best book might be one that you need to write for yourself. So maybe I'm going to make a note of that one.
Okay. I'll collaborate a chapter.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, I just, I love reading the little snippets and hearing how you're doing marathons and that. But I would like to know more about, you know, how you warmed yourself up to that, and in your frame of mind, how you got there too.
I think I see a book in your future, Dr. Jeannie. We're not the only one here that's capable. I see a future for you as well. Maybe that's something that might be a story that's worth telling for you.
Yeah, maybe. But I really enjoyed speaking to you today. I felt close to you ever since I read your books, but even more so as you reached out and been my cheerleader, you know, and I love and covet my Dirty Lazy Keto shopping tote you gave me. I still use it. And I say, that's my reward from Stephanie.
Well, I'm so proud of you. I love watching your journey and your smile and just the way you shine and inspire others. Those are the people that jump out at me. It's not about how many pounds a person loses. It's more about when they get it. I see like a light go off, and it shines so bright that others want to be around you. So I congratulate you, my friend, on all that you've achieved and that you've overcome. I know personally, sounds like it's been quite a journey for you in your community and just the way that you've been so brave at facing it all and healing. I mean, I'm in awe.
Oh, thank you. And I'm pretty much in awe of you too. Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
Well, listeners, I hope and watchers that you enjoyed our conversation today. And again, please give Jeannie thumbs ups and congratulations in the comments. Encourage her. And I will also link up another success story after this. But know, friends, that transformation is possible. And folks like myself and Jeannie and others are here to support you on your path to dirty, lazy keto-ness. So give it up a huge round of applause for Jeannie.
I knew you'd have your props.
You knew I have one snuck here somewhere.
Here, I'll show you mine. Everybody gets a metal prop.
That's the Captain Violet Butler. Everybody gets a medal. I love it. Well, that about wraps it up, folks. Thanks so much for listening and for being part of the Dirty Lazy Keto community. I'm here to support you. I am here to help. Would you like to be notified when a new episode drops? Sign up for my free newsletter so we can keep in touch. Enter your email at dirtylazyketo.com and I'll just send you quick notifications when something new is going on. My newsletters are free, of course, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Did you enjoy today's podcast? Do me a favor, tell a friend. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the Dirty Lazy Keto podcast. I believe in you, my friend. I know you can do this. See you next week, Keto Superstars.